Well, this is our last week of our series looking at the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Although, trust me, we're not getting rid of the gospel, but just the last week we're directly talking about it. Last week, Pastor Carroll talked about our gospel identity, even if all we have is an avocado and a sweet potato and a bunch of broccoli, that's enough for God to work with. This week we are looking at gospel rhythms, and no, we're not talking about, you know, snapping and foot tapping and clapping rhythms. We're talking about gospel rhythms. Gospel rhythms are the patterns that cultivate or choke out the gospel in our lives. Now, pastors used to say that you know what matters to people by looking at the log in their checkbooks, but most people don't have checkbooks, let alone log any of their checks anymore. So nowadays, a more interesting thing is to look at the battery usage tracker on your smartphone, if you have one. How much time you have spent on particular apps or websites, that's probably a pretty good look at what matters to you. And actually, newer phones will tell you this, but beware, it can be kind of a depressing thing to find out. I looked up mine. Number one app on my phone. Any guesses what my number one app would be? That would be really good, but no. It wasn't even on my top 10. Whoops. Calendar. Calendar was my number one app. So when I feel like I'm spending as much time managing my meetings as I am in my meetings, I now have the data to back up that feeling. And my number two app was email, communicating about those meetings that I'm about to have. So today we're looking at those rhythms in your life, the patterns that are repeated and reinforced over and over and over again. And so the question for us are your life rhythms cultivating the gospel in your life, or are the rhythms in your life choking out the gospel? In our text today, Jesus is giving his best sermon. This was his stump speech. In the book of Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain, meaning a flat space. So probably Jesus gave versions of this sermon in multiple contexts, and a lot of the most famous and most challenging teachings of Jesus are contained in this famous sermon. These are the things that Jesus repeated. These are the things that were a rhythm for him, a pattern in his teaching. And so maybe, just maybe, these things are important and worth paying attention to. Let's hear directly from Jesus what some of the gospel rhythms are for us to try to follow. If you are able, please stand for the reading from the gospel. Luke chapter 6. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears good fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of the heart, produces good. The evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my word, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, as many of you know, I enjoy singing. And now I almost never watch television anymore. I don't have the time. But one day, late last year, I was randomly had the TV on, and I saw a brief snippet of the show The Voice. It's basically some judges deciding who's the better singer. If you're a fan of the show, sorry for the reductionistic view of it. And in this segment that I watched, there were two singers, and they were facing off. Both of them were very, very good. One showed off his impressive vocal range. The other one showed off some impressive stage presence and footwork. He put on a really good show. And the judges were torn because both of these people were obviously stars in the making. But I still remember how the final judge broke the tie. He said, "Well, this is The Voice, so I guess I'm going with the better voice." How deliciously simple of a criteria, right? On The Voice, we find out who has the better voice. Brilliant. So what's that kind of simple summary of spiritual growth? How do you know if you are spiritually better than you were a year ago? What is our measuring stick for our faith? Well, as a church, we summarize our mission as helping people become rooted, growing, and branching out. We want to help you develop those rooted relationships, meaningful relationships. We want to help you be growing in your faith and branching out to serve. Now, rooted relationships, that's pretty easy to measure, to gauge. Do I have more people that I want to let into my life? If so, I am growing in rooted relationships. Branching out to serve, that one's pretty easy to measure, right? Have I found a place where I serve other people and it's life-giving to me? Then I'm branching out. But what about that growing in faith part? That seems a little harder to define. It's the most nebulous of the three missions of our church. We don't have anything as simple as The Voice for gauging our spiritual growth. As I read our text today, I would say Jesus gives us a bunch of examples that reveal a big theme of spiritual growth. Let's try to find that together. Here's some of the things Jesus says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He talks about loving your enemies, being merciful, not judging. He says we need to forgive. Don't be a hypocrite. Do what Jesus tells you. Build your house on the rock of Christ. If you think about that list, do you have all of those down pat? Are you good with that list? Do you have an A or an A+ in every single one of those examples? If so, you are preaching next week because you're doing this faith thing better than me. Here's my takeaway from this list. Spiritual growth is when our hearts look more like Jesus. We are growing in our faith whenever our hearts look more like Jesus. Not just our actions, not just our thoughts, our feelings, our first instincts, our innermost heart, the things we don't tell anyone else. When those things start looking more like Jesus, that's spiritual growth. And so if you want to know if you have grown spiritually over the last year, don't ask yourself if you have learned more. Don't ask yourself if you have served more. Those are great. Those are part of spiritual growth, but they aren't the measuring stick. Ask yourself if your heart is more like Jesus. That's the measuring stick. And I think this is an important distinction because every single year I can grow in my knowledge of the Bible. Every single year I can increase in my understanding of God's Word. But I don't necessarily see my heart become more like Jesus every single year. It's not automatic. In fact, sometimes, I don't know about for you, but for me, sometimes I go backwards, where my heart stops, gets a little less reflective of Jesus over the course of the year. In fact, if I'm being honest, I think in 2018, I went backwards a little bit in my heart. My innermost thoughts, my innermost heart is slightly less like Jesus today than it was 12 months ago. And I think I know why. But I'll get to that in a second. Think about your own heart. How are your innermost thoughts? How are your innermost attitudes? If you made a graph, you know, would those be trending more toward Jesus, trending away from Jesus, or kind of stagnating? Think back a year ago. Think back 5 years ago or 10 years ago. How does your heart now compare to your heart then? Is it more or less like Jesus? That's spiritual growth. I've shared before about one of my favorite church research studies called Reveal. They collected data from about 250,000 churchgoers, tried to figure out what beliefs, what activities, church events, and attitudes contributed to spiritual growth. And they found that there are two basic spiritual practices that are the top ways to invest in your spiritual growth, no matter where you are in the spiritual continuum. If you're wondering who's Jesus or you are Mother Teresa's second coming and everything in between, the same two things, the same two rhythms are at the top of the spiritual food chain. And now I share this about once a year in a sermon, and if you come to the pastor's breakfast, there's a good chance you hear it there. So here's your test. Anyone here, remember the two practices that contribute most to spiritual growth. Not everyone at once. Reflecting on Scripture, praying for guidance. Some of you had the nod of recognition. You've heard that before. Reflecting on Scripture and praying for guidance. Say that with me. Reflecting on Scripture, praying for guidance. Those phrases are very specific. Because you can read the Bible without reflecting on it. But it is better to read just a few verses and write something down about them or think, what does this mean to me? It is better to just do a small chunk and reflect on it than to read several chapters at once without stopping to apply it to your life. That's reflecting on Scripture, not just reading it. And praying for guidance. There are a lot of ways to pray. You can pick up a copy of The Joys and Concerns and pray for, you can celebrate with people or pray for their healing. Those are good prayers. But they're not praying for guidance. Praying for guidance is asking God, what do you want me to do? What do I need to change? What do I need to do more? What do I need to remove? Who do I need to love in your name? Those are prayers for guidance. So the top two spiritual practices, say it with me again, reflecting on Scripture, praying for guidance. We'll test you again next week. There are a ton of other ways to invest in your spiritual growth. Those are good too. But without those two foundations, it's hard to see your heart become more like Jesus. And I said, I think I know why I've backtracked just a little bit, and I think it's because I've been missing those two foundational rhythms over the last year. I have done plenty of other things to invest in my spiritual growth, but I have not done as much on those two foundations. Primarily in 2018, I spent time praying through music, not just playing music, but praying through music. I think it has helped me express emotions too deep for words. It's been a helpful and a good thing. And I've kept doing my normal devotional practice of reading and reflecting on Scripture. I have a particular method I've been using for a number of years, but I keep a log of every single day that I do this in Evernote. And usually in previous years, you know, it'd be most of the days of the year would have an entry. Last year, it was most of the days of the year did not have an entry. So it was still there, but it was much reduced. In fact, last year, I remember sharing kind of close to the end of the year, maybe halfway through or three-quarters of the way through at a staff meeting, that we were talking about, you know, spiritual growth. And I said, you know, I haven't been doing as much of these foundational things, but I've been doing this music, and I don't feel like I'm missing anything in my heart yet. But by the end of the year, I definitely did. When the last couple months of the year were much tougher, Jesus talks about, you know, when the river overflows, when the flood comes, when that happened in my life, I didn't have that reservoir of Christ-likeness in my heart that I would have had if I had had those same daily rhythms. So the challenge to myself in talking about the gospel rhythms is to get back to the basics, to go back to those foundational pieces. I need those two best practices to become daily rhythm for me again, because those two practices shape my heart to be more like Jesus. So that's me. How about you? How are your gospel rhythms? How are you routinely, regularly reflecting on Scripture, not just reading it? How are you routinely, regularly praying for guidance from the Holy Spirit? What other gospel rhythms do you have in your life that actually shape your heart to be more like Jesus? On Wednesday of this week, we're starting the season of Lent with our Ash Wednesday service. And you know, Lent is often a time of spiritual reflection. Sometimes people give something up for Lent. Sometimes people take on something new for Lent. Or as my dad always, every single year, my dad does the same thing for Lent. He gives up giving up stuff for Lent. It's a deep spiritual practice. Is there anything, approaching this Lenten season, a time when we think about these things, is there anything that Jesus might be calling you to add to your life, add to your daily rhythm between now and Easter? Anything that Jesus might be calling you to add to cultivate his presence in your heart more? And simultaneously, is there anything you need to remove from your life to make room for that new daily gospel rhythm? If you're like me and you have alternative ways that you're trying to grow spiritually, but you're lacking that foundation, the bedrock, those two spiritual practices, get back to the basics. That's what I need to do. But if you hear those things and you're like, you know, I do that all the time. There are some years where I had those down pat. That was not my challenge. If you like, I already have those foundational pieces, but I still want to grow, do something to grow in my faith. Well, read this text. Jesus has a bunch of ideas here for you. In our first text that we heard, that Cherie read, Jesus got in trouble for healing someone on the Sabbath. That tells me that serving other people is a good gospel rhythm. This year, we're trying to connect more people with one of our mission partners, Love in the Name of Christ, or they call it Love Inc. for short. You go to loveinclittleton.org, find a way to serve. Or we're working with Arapahoe County to start a system where they can identify needs and churches can respond to it online. It's called the Care Portal. But we need someone to be the point person of that in our church. If you're good at email, I can train you how to do the rest. If you want to serve our community, that's a new gospel rhythm. Let me know, and I can train you how to send out those needs to others in the church. Or help us set up or clean up for the movie night or volunteer with the Parents Night Out on March 15th. Serving is a gospel rhythm. It can invest in your heart. In our main text today, Jesus talks about loving difficult people. And so is there anyone in your family that could use some love? Not just tough love, but love. Or what about the difficult person at your office or on your block? Or the homeless person you drive by every single day? Loving difficult people is a gospel rhythm. Jesus talks about not judging or showing mercy and forgiving. We're going to spend the season of Lent talking about the art of forgiveness, or art of forgiving. So is there anyone you need to forgive? Someone that you think, I've been judging them internally. Maybe you could spend some time getting to know them better. That's a gospel rhythm. Those are ways to go beyond just the foundation. Rhythms are important. Our patterns, our habit, our rhythms often matter more than just like one-time mountaintop experiences. For instance, I don't remember really a single lesson from my high school youth group. Don't tell my mom because she was doing most of them. But I still remember the rhythm. I still remember the pattern. Two Sundays of Bible study, one Sunday of fun, and one Sunday of serving. I remember that pattern even today. Rinse and repeat. It was a great rhythm for faith. What gospel rhythms do you already have in your life? What gospel rhythms do you need in your life? Not just to learn more, not just to understand more, not just to do more, but to have your heart become more and more like Jesus. Those are gospel rhythms. Amen.